We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one. We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it's a Thursday, 7-11. Open all day, baby. Edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch, and always on 103.7 The Game. Busy day in sports. Major League Baseball getting back underway. Astros, Rangers, first game during what's known as the second half of the season. And the Astros learned today they will be without Jake Mariznick, suspended for two games due to his collision with former Raging Cajun Jonathan Lucroy. We'll lead off with that on today's program. Ben Love here at the Taproom River Ranch for the next 2 hours and 25 minutes. The famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. And quickly, before we move on and get back to the Stros, that number now and for the next week, likely as important as ever. With all of the inclement weather expected in the Acadiana area, make sure you know the number. You hear it every single day. Dial 237-ROOF. That's 237-7663. Spoke with Darren at Lafayette Roofing earlier today. The calls have been coming in. People that need some tarps, they can help you with that. Preventative measures. Hopefully you don't need anything. Excuse me. That's reactive. But again, 237-ROOF, it's not just our studio name. It's something you need to know. All right, CD, I launched right into the news of the afternoon that Jake Mariznick popped two games due to his collision with Jonathan Lucroy. And it's interesting. Earlier this week, we had that conversation just 2 days ago with Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle. What did he think was coming? Is it a fine? Is it a suspension? We asked Chandler about this kind of an hour or two before they played ball in Cleveland during the All-Star game. And our dude is looking like Nostradamus. Let's run the tape back. Less than 48 hours. Here's what Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle predicted.
I think it's really difficult. And I think, just my personal opinion, I do think a suspension is going to be coming for Jake Mariznick. But I'm going to tell you why. I think it's going to be more of a precedent setter. I don't think Jake Mariznick meant any ill intent. I think it was a split-second play, and it was just one of those, neither of those guys could have reacted in the split second that that happened and to do anything about it. And sure, if you look at the play, it doesn't look great from Jake Mariznick's point of view. It looks as bad, maybe, as Jonathan Lucroy felt. But I do think, though, that the rule is there to prevent things like that. Baseball does not want to see a guy get knocked unconscious at the plate. And just that grisly sight, and knowing that the rule is there, the plate collision rule is there to prevent things like that, I think that that's going to be the kind of a determining factor that I think, at least, that Jake Mariznick may incur some sort of suspension. And as far as Jake Mariznick goes, he is one of the least malicious human beings you'll ever meet. He's one of the nicest guys in the team, one of the more docile guys in the clubhouse. I know he meant no ill intent or ill harm. It just was a really unfortunate coincidence. I don't know if coincidence is the right word. It's just an unfortunate situation. It was a split-second thing, and unfortunately, it's good to hear that Jonathan Lucroy is better and getting better, but it's a tough deal for everybody, but I think MLB is going to want to set some sort of a precedent. So I wouldn't be shocked if there's a suspension handed.
This dude right here, yeah, again, less than 48 hours later, that's exactly what has transpired. Officially, Mariznick was also given an undisclosed fine. Jake Mariznick, the Astros, can appeal his two-game suspension. Originally, the statement was, hey, if he doesn't, it begins tonight in Arlington. It's funny that Chandler Rome tweeted that at 12.05 p.m. And at 2.48 p.m., updated Chandler said, yep, he is, in fact, appealing it. So it looks like Mariznick may actually be available, now that I scrolled through everything, to play tonight as the Stros and Rangers, I believe the only game on the docket, beginning the rest of the MLB season. One more note on that. According to Joe Torre, his statement on Jake Marisnik and the two-game suspension, after thoroughly reviewing the play from all angles, I have concluded that Jake's actions warrant discipline. While I do not believe that Jake intended to enter Jonathan, the contact he initiated in his attempt to score violated an official baseball rule, and then he gives the exact number. That rule is designed to protect catchers from precisely this type of collision. So Chandler Rome, Johnny on the spot, and they want to do something to try and set a precedent. They want to protect their catchers, and so how about that? As we launch into today's Thursday program, Houston Astros will begin the second half of the season. Jake Marisnik, he'll be out for a game or two, it looks like, pending an appeal. Bit of a fine, too. And hopefully Jonathan Lucroy, who we know was back in Lafayette earlier this week for reasons nobody wanted, to attend Coach Robichaud's funeral. Hopefully Lucroy back at it as soon as possible for his Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Little baseball for you to lead off the show today. We got a lot of football that's coming at you between now and 6:30. Let me tell you all about it. At 4:30, about 20 minutes from this very moment, Billy Napier, second-year head coach of the UL Raging Cajuns, will join us. Who has been standing out in this offseason? What do some of these incoming freshmen look like? Don't forget, the 2019 crop, the first that Napier and his staff really got to recruit from start to finish. I think they like the look of these young guys. Again, now they're getting to cook with their own groceries. So Billy Napier will tell you about that. The opener against Mississippi State, and just how he reacted when he heard about $2 beer inside Cajun Field for his home games. Billy, our only guest of hour number one, again coming at you at 4:30. We're going to double down on high school coaches in the 5 o'clock hour, both involved in day two of the Quick Slant 7-on-7. Shane Savoy kind of helped put this tournament together along with Matt Roth and company. He's also the offensive coordinator for St. Thomas More Cougar football. Shane will be with us at 5:15. And Dennis Gaines, head coach of the Cecilia Bulldogs, joining the program at 5:45. The Bulldogs are set to open this season with brand new digs, a new stadium in St. Martin Parish. We'll get the skinny on that, plus his offensive and defensive leaders heading into the 2019 campaign. And then at straight up 6 o'clock, you'll get the straight scoop from Cougar Stadium, James Buers with the Acadiana Advocate live updates from the larger school division brackets of the Quick Slant 7-on-7. Busy show today. Billy Napier, Shane Savoy, Dennis Gaines, and James Buers. A lot of football, a lot of fun. And then we dump you off with Astros Rangers 6:30. Is Astro launch 7:05, first pitch all right here on Acadiana Sports Station. So stick and stay. More Bumper to Bumper Sports on the way on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Minutes after 4 o'clock, right back in with more of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports. Live on 103.7 The Game, and you know we're hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch. Live music tonight, 8 until 11. Eric Gautreaux laying down the sound, and they'll continue the Saturday Summer Music Series at the Taproom. Sal Malonsong in the building. Again, same times, 8 to 11 this Saturday. No cover charge, just a great time and one heck of a way to spend your weekend. Clint, we're going to do a little bit of not quite plagiarism. I'm not sure that would be appropriate. But we're going to take a great idea, we're going to make it our own, and then we're going to apply it to LSU. Play the music, I'll explain, and then I'll get to the question. Plagiarism might have been a wee bit strong. I'm just going to suggest that. But here's the deal. Earlier today on Twitter, where all great things apparently happen, Sony Michel, Todd Gurley were going back and forth on the greatest Georgia running backs of all time. Pretty thorough list there. I would imagine Herschel Walker needs to be at the top of it. But if we were to play that game with LSU, and here, you know, here's the inside scoop, we're about to, how would you rank them? So today's sink or swim question of the day, rank your top three LSU running backs of all time. Thank you, Sony, and thank you, Todd, for the idea. Call us up and let us know. 706-0111. Top three LSU RBs to ever do it. Clint, I'm going to lead you off. I've spent an awful lot of time not only around the archives of Tiger Rag Magazine, which gives me a historic edge over you, but I've met just about every one of these people. I'm going to start with Kevin Faulk. And I know I'll get the Homer radio. We're in Acadiana. I call Karen Crow High games. Some facts are indisputable. Others aren't facts. They're more subjective. This is my subjective take. What Feezy K did, running it, catching it, returning it, I think he was the most valuable player who was a running back to ever dress out at LSU. Was he the best single back, eye back, line it up, give it to me, and I'm toting the rock? I don't know about that. An argument can be made in a different direction there, but I'm going to go Kevin Faulk at number one overall. After that, I'm going with the only Heisman Trophy winner in the history of the program, the late, great Dr. Billy Cannon, a man who once came on this show and reminded everyone that just because I introduced him as being live from Angola prison, he said, Ben, I'll have your listeners know I'm in a working capacity today. Brilliant. I'll go Faulk 1, Cannon 2, and then maybe the world's biggest sitting-on-the-fence hedge move of all time. I'm going to go Leonard Faulk and Charles Alexander tied for third. You don't like it? That's fine. Tell me about it. Convince me otherwise. I've got a list of at least three more who deserve serious consideration, but I'm not going to spoil guys that may be on your list. So we've taken a baton from Georgia backs. Sonny Michel, Todd Gurley, again, we've made it our own. Give me Kevin Faulk, 1, Billy Cannon, 2, Leonard Fournette, and Charles Alexander tied for 3rd. CD, before we take any calls, what's your list?
You know, my list, it'll differ a little bit from yours. I think, obviously, I got to go number one. It's got to be Billy Cannon, largely because of the history of it all. When you just think about him being the first ever Heisman Trophy winner, it was a different time, a lot more run game kind of style when you look at the world of college football. It wasn't necessarily as evolved as it has been over the last 5 years, seeing a lot more emphasis on the quarterback. What we've seen from Billy Cannon, it was amazing, seeing everything that he was able to do. Number two, it's Kevin Faulk without a doubt. The guy deserves to be in the top three conversation of probably top three LSU players of all time, if not top five, because of what he not only was able to do on the field, but he made LSU a lot more relevant again with what he was able to do back in the 90s, made it the coolest place to be. It was just everything he did, it was fantastic, especially what he did at LSU. And number three, I'm going to go Leonard Fournette. I'm just going to stick him in there, number three. So because the guy, his first 2 years were phenomenal. His third year, not so much, but it was still solid enough to kind of say, hey, this dude deserves to be in the top three for everything he was able to do throughout his collegiate career.
That's fair. And if you were to just look at bodies, right, guys that were built to do it, you would probably go Fournette. And then you might actually go Cannon. People forget a lot, but Billy Cannon, there was nobody that big, that strong, running that fast in the late 50s. He really kind of broke the mold for his era. And that's something I'm not going to easily forget with my rankings. Clint, you put him first overall. Clearly, neither will you. We need some input here. We're getting a little bit, I believe, on social media. How about via the old Ardco Equipment Hotline, 706-0111. Give us what you got. Here's the first response that we've gotten on Twitter so far. I look almost to be expected, but they agree with me on this one. All eyes on three. Top running back at LSU, Mr. Faulk. Hashtag Mr. Faulk. We appreciate that submission from at TreyMoo_66. Let's take some more. 706-0111. Taking an idea from a place where all brilliant things come, the University of Georgia, and transposing it to LSU. Your top three backs of all time. Call us, let us know, rank them. And while I'm waiting, I guess at this juncture I'll give you some of the guys that I was putting in my ARV category, also receiving votes. Darius Geis, Jeremy Hill, and those are just guys in this era. If I were to rewind the clock a little bit, yeah, I'm going to get pretty quickly to Dalton Hilliard, Jerry Stovall. We could go on and on, couldn't we, with guys that played in some respective kind of semifinalist for Golden Era. I think we recognize that the Golden Era for LSU football, for now, that chapter is closed. Anybody can recreate it or do better than, but right now it's pretty clear. I think it was 2001 through 2011. That's too long of a period for you? Okay, it was 01 through 07. And a lot of the backs that I just gave you were within that time frame. A guy that joins us every single Friday in the fall at 5 o'clock might want to be discussed, right? Because he's the only one who's ever been an SEC most valuable player, SEC championship game, and a BCS championship game most valuable player. We're talking about Justin Vincent there. I'm getting a text in. Al says Cecil the Diesel. Well, yeah, I'd say for about a three or four game stretch, nobody was ever better than Cecil. Cecil Collins. What a great drop that is right there. I think that dude is still running out of his shoes and running for like 280 yards against Mississippi State. So that's a really good one from Al. We're getting him via text. We're getting him via Twitter. We just need him via the Artco Equipment Hotline. 706-0111, top three LSU backs of all time. And some others that we could discuss that probably just didn't do it for long enough. And frankly, even Jeremy Hill, who I gave as an ARV guy, Jeremy probably didn't do it long enough either. He didn't play his first year out of college from Redemptorist, was forced to sit out, legal issues, and came in and played 2 years after. He was special. I mean, really good. There were reasons that future NFL players like Spencer Ware couldn't get to the field with regularity. It's because Jeremy Hill was around. And certainly there were guys that we could go to. I think that Jacob Hester is going to be one of the most revered and well-remembered backs. But I have a hard time. And look, I love Hester. He's been on this show. I got mad respect for that cat. Putting him in the same conversation as Leonard Fournette, Kevin Falk, and Billy Cannon, I'm just not ready to quite do that yet. Right? You could be a really good president, and there may be a reason we don't put you with the guys that they carved, like, you know, stone out of on Mount Rushmore. So there are levels to things, as always. Shocked we're not getting any today. All right, we got quiet cats today. Still a few moments in this segment. 706-0111, and then we got a great guest coming up in about 6 minutes. Billy Napier, head coach of the Raging Cajuns. Want to talk about great backs? He's got a few in his room right now. When you have somebody the caliber of Raymond Calais and he's struggling to find a lot of time on the field, you know that's because you got the goods. And they've got exactly that. Elijah Mitchell coming into his own out of ERATH. And, of course, Trey Regis, New Orleans' own, leads one of the most loaded group of five running back rooms in the country. So maybe appropriate. Now we're going to segue today from the best LSU backs of all time to what might be, at least in the modern era, the best group of backs that the Raging Cajuns have had in one single season. So excited about the show today. Billy Napier coming aboard on the other side of this break. Shane Savoie, Dennis Gaines, James Buers, all on the docket after that. All right, we got another ranking that has come in here. The text line is popular. Got to stop giving people my number. Cannon, Alexander, Falk, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, all three of those guys were in there for me as well. To not include Charles Alexander would be an absolute travesty. Got another text that's come in. Joseph Addai. All right, that's strong to quite strong. Joe Addai wouldn't be as highly rated on my list as Jeremy Hill. Neither did it for quite as long. Some pretty good ones. Another text. What is this? We do have a hotline number, people. We got another text that's come in as well. And this would be one of the Acadiana area's own. In fact, Acadiana High's own, Charles Scott. Yeah, I reckon Ram, if ever there were one. Not bad. We can come back to this. In fact, I think we should after we sit down with Billy Napier. So don't go anywhere. On the other side, my chat with second-year head coach of the Raging Cajuns. He's excited about these youngsters he's got coming in. He'll tell you all about it next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports Live from the Tap Room River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Football season can't come fast enough.
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
You little...
Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to help get you by.
Right back out to the Taproom River Ranch every single Thursday. It's our home. We wouldn't have it any other way. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live and taking you home on 103.7 The Game. Hey, we wouldn't have this any other way either. It's almost the middle of July, and we're talking Raging Cajuns football. Let's get out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Second-year head coach of your UL Raging Cajuns, Billy Napier, our guest. Coach, I know it's been a trying time for the Cajun community, and we'll talk about that momentarily, but I hope it has been a fulfilling summer for you and your family. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, Ben, I appreciate you having me on today and certainly covering our program and covering UL.
And let's get right to it. You and I spoke off the air yesterday. I understand that people that follow Cajun baseball, Cajun athletics, their heart just absolutely bleeds for Tony Robichaux and his family. What has that experience, I guess, been like from your side and all the outpouring of love that you've witnessed for this man, this legend, and this giant in our area and within your athletic department?
Well, it's humbling for me, you know, to have worked alongside not only a coach and a person, but, this is a guy who I looked up to quite a bit, you know, just in terms of outside of the success that he had as a coach, as a person, as a man, as a member of our community. I think he was everything that we should desire to be. You know, I think that these are difficult times. There's nothing easy about it. But I do think that they cause you to look in the mirror. I think that they cause us all to remember the wisdom and the experience and the things that Coach Robe taught us along the way. And certainly having a chance to be at visitation and go to the funeral, it becomes very obvious the impact that Coach Robe had and that we all have in the coaching profession. So it's a challenge to me, and certainly, although difficult, if there's anyone to celebrate, Tony Robichaux is the cream of the crop, you know, and as good a man as I've met in my day. So for me, it's a challenge to go to be that type of person and have that type of impact. It certainly takes some of the things that he has taught me and apply those things going forward.
Coach, I know for your football program, there's been a little downtime with this 4th of July break, but the guys are back at it this week, and it's also the time of year where the strength and conditioning staff really has their hooks in the players. So I guess your hopes and aspirations for how your team is getting better at this time of year.
Well, it's a critical time of the year. You know, I think that this is where your team really develops a lot of the chemistry, unity, togetherness that will be very important in the critical times of the season. You know, I think that it's really the first time that the rookie players are working alongside the veteran players that maybe have been around here. Certainly for us in year two, we're much better at everything that we're doing. We're much more efficient. I think we're getting more out of our work. But I like the attitude of our team. I think we're developing the intangibles that it's going to take. We have a challenging schedule, and we're excited about those opportunities. And I'm excited about some of the leadership that I'm seeing from some of these players.
Head Coach Billy Napier, the UL Raging Cajuns, our guest on 103.7 The Game. Any examples, Coach, that you could share of maybe how your team feels deeper going into year two? And when I say that, deeper with guys that understand your system, deeper recruited with the type of players that you want for your system. Do you have that type of feel?
Well, I think we've got a little bit better feel for this rookie group that we signed. I do think that, the quote-unquote experts rank this group highly, and I think that the early reviews would be that they were right. You know, I think that this is a big, long, fast group that has some character, you know, and is working really, really hard. The time will tell, you know, as we put pads on in August, then we start, you know, really going to work on putting in the offense and the defense and practicing at a high rate, you know, whether they can handle that. But I think what I'm most impressed with is I see some of these personalities on our team gelling together. You know, we're working really well together, and I think that's really, really important at this time of the year. So I'm excited about the rookie group that we signed, and I think that they're going to make an impact on our team for sure.
Any rookies in particular that showed up maybe having transformed their bodies in one way or the other, or that you just saw and you were reminded, okay, yeah, this is why we recruited this kid out of high school?
Well, I mean, heck, there's a lot of them. I think on both lines of scrimmage, offensive line and defensive line, it's just, this is an impressive group of players. You know, some of the guys that we all talked about along the way, I'd hate to single out one guy and leave out someone, but the big thing I would say is I think that the positions of need, you know, defensive line, I think at corner, we've got quality depth at receiver. I think we're preparing, you know, we've got a really senior veteran group of offensive linemen, so that group of linemen that we've signed has got us some position for a bright future there. You know, all the quarterbacks are here now, so I mean, we've added lots of pieces to the puzzle, you know, and we're still quite not complete, you know, to some degree when you start looking at 85 scholarship players and all those things. So a lot of work to be done, but we've got enough to be dangerous, and it's really going to be about what type of choices and decisions we make between now and then, how we prepare, what type of teammates we are, you know, all those intangible things that we put a premium on.
Coach, yesterday I was out at the first day of the Quick Slant 7-on-7 tournament at St. Thomas More, saw Tank Lotief, watched Kaplan participate, and it reminded me about Quentlin Cobb and just how many positions he played for that Kaplan Pirates team. So I'll let you remind our listeners, just where do you think he'll slot in position-wise for your team?
Well, Quentlin's going to play defensive line. You know, Quentlin's played a little bit of defensive line in high school. You know, Quentlin's a young man who is very much capable, you know, and I think we're excited to work with him. And I'm anxious to get him here and go to work. You know, it's certainly right down the road a guy that's from our backyard, and we're going to take tremendous pride in helping him be the best he can be.
Our listeners will want to know about how, I guess, your prep work goes once you get to August. And so how much and for how long can you really work on us? How much can you get better internally before you really have to start flipping the calendar and page over to Mississippi State?
Well, you know, we've got a plan that we use for training camp that certainly, having worked with some really good coaches, I think applies. You know, we'll work really hard for about 17 practices. You know, we'll kind of turn the page about a week and a half out from that Mississippi State opener in New Orleans in the Superdome. So, you know, we'll turn the page with about 10 days to go. But, you know, we're going to work on ourselves for 17 practices all the way up until about August 20th. So should be a very intense training camp. I think practice is going to be much more competitive, and certainly in year two, people will be playing faster, and I think it'll produce a better product. So we got work to do between now and then. I think we've got about 20 days before we report. And, you know, there's work to be done between now and then, and we'll turn the page to training camp on August the 1st when the guys report.
Another moment or two with Billy Napier, heading into year two, leading the Cajuns football program. As a guy who obviously is geared toward the offensive side, Coach, where are some of the areas that you're hoping Levi Lewis takes the most strides forward between now and the last weekend in August?
Well, Levi has impressed me just, you know, since the day I've gotten here. He's, you know, been well celebrated, you know, in terms of his attitude, his approach. He's a tremendous teammate, very well respected within our locker room. You know, I think he's one of the more impressive teammates that I've been around, you know, a guy that really sets the tone in our building in terms of how you work, the attention to detail, discipline, being consistent in your approach. You know, and I think that that's paid off for him. You know, he's really improved as a passer. I'm excited to see the work that he's done this summer as we get back and get on the field. But, you know, he's in that quarterback meeting room about every day around here, studying tape, going through our protocol that we have for the quarterbacks in the summer. He's doing a great job leading our team in some of these optional team activities that we do. So Levi Lewis is everything that we could ask for in a quarterback, you know, but I think we've got a really good group of quarterbacks in general. I think this is going to be a very competitive training camp to see how this thing shakes out. Certainly Jayave Mangale, Chandler Fields is here now to go along with Clifton McDowell. We added Brayden Hawkins here late, so this is a good group. You know, a lot of new faces, but certainly a lot of good arms, and I think a group that's intelligent, has character, and it goes about their business the way you'd want your quarterback to be.
You and I have talked this offseason, and you expect the defense under Ron Roberts to maybe be the area where the overall team is most improved. I guess some of the things that you saw in the spring and continue to see that bolster that belief that you've had for some time now.
Well, I think the big thing is it's year two, not only for the players, but also for the staff relative to they know what to expect. You know, they know how to use their time. They know how to plan their meetings. They know how to plan their the things that go with their walkthroughs and the practice opportunities that they get. So I think Coach Roberts' pedigree, I see that. You know, I saw it in spring practice, and certainly I'm excited to get to training camp. But even in the summer, you know, I think his impact is starting to become very obvious. I like the addition of Lamar Morgan, and certainly we've got a good group of coaches on that side of the ball. Our personnel is going to improve with the players that we signed, and then I think that being in year two in the system, in this way of doing things, I think is going to pay off. So we need to take a step forward on defense, and I think that we're working towards that. I'm excited about that group of players and that group of coaches.
Big opener for the Raging Cajuns. It's Saturday, August 31st, 11 a.m. kickoff. Inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, Mississippi State against the Cajuns. Coach, I know a lot of people still gobbling up tickets for that one. Before we let you go, I think it's awesome what's going on at Cajun Field, and you'll debut there September 7 against Liberty. And there will be people buying $2 16-ounce domestic beers inside that stadium. So how much of a bear hug did you give Dr. Brian Magger when you read that news?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a big initiative here to improve the game day experience for the fan. I think it, across all of college football, I think we're doing more and more to make game day a better experience for the fan. Certainly, I'm in charge of winning and losing and how our team plays, how they execute, the type of discipline that they play with, the effort and the toughness. You know, but Dr. Magger and our administration have done an outstanding job. I think as we roll out these ticket packages and the different things that we're doing. Basically, we're trying to make every Saturday at Cajun Field a festival, man. We like to have a good time around here in Cajun land, and I think Saturdays at Cajun Field need to be that way. So some of the things that we've done to improve their experience I think are important. But for me, I always say, just win. You know, let's put together a team that wins with class, does things right off the field, and I think these people will be proud of these young men and show up and support them. And I'm excited about the future. I've never been more excited and had more fun coaching than I am having right now. A lot of that has to do with the group of coaches and the people that we have to work here with, our administration included, and certainly we've got a veteran group of players that I think is starting to get it. They're starting to understand what it's truly about. You know, and it won't be long. We'll be strapping it on here and going playing some games. So can't wait to that opener, and certainly got a great schedule ahead of us.
Coach Billy Napier getting everyone fired up for some UL Raging Cajun football. Glad to hear you're as excited as ever. Hey, we are too, Coach, and look forward to continue taking this ride with you. Thanks for coming on today.
Ben, thank you, man. Appreciate you covering our team.
Absolutely, and it's going to be an exciting year. I just got that feeling for Cajuns football. All right, final break in hour number one, then we'll be right back in and back at it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, lounging, hanging out, and getting ready for the weekend at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back in with more B2BS, that's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. A lot of fun. Always is when we get to sit down with Billy Napier. You think he's not excited about some of those $2 beers at Cajun Field? Yeah, he probably won't drink a one of them, but I promise you, he is more than okay with the fans coming, the fans staying, but that's week two talk, right? Against Liberty, week three talk against Texas State. He's worried about Mississippi State first. Clint, as we wind down our number one, kind of a bizarre story. All right, really a bizarre story. And it just came out, let me timestamp this, 13 minutes ago from Mike Triplett of the Mothership. Again, bear with me. I did some headline reading in the break, so I don't have the full details, and this looks like a fairly intricate story. But the New Orleans Saints, they took, after the draft, they picked up University of Wyoming defensive end Carl Granderson. And the news today from Mike Triplett, Granderson sentenced to 6 months in jail earlier today after a judge rejected the terms of his plea agreement on sexual assault charges. At this point, I'm sharing with you what Mike Triplett of the Mothership.com has reported. Granderson, accused of inappropriately touching two women while they slept at his apartment in 2018, went undrafted, as I told you, out of Wyoming, while facing charges of third-degree sexual battery, or third-degree sexual assault and sexual battery. It appeared, Triplett reported, that Granderson might avoid jail time earlier this morning when he reached a plea agreement with prosecutors. However, Judge Tory Cricken rejected the proposed deal. So that's something that I don't think any of us would have expected. In fact, I'm going to shoot you straight. I didn't even know that they had snatched up Carl Granderson after the draft. He was a two-time All-Mountain West selection. Looked like he had a pretty good chance of making the Saints roster. Why? Well, because he spent some time with the first-string D as an injury replacement during OTAs and minicamp. Drew some praise from coaches. The Saints guaranteed $85K of his salary, including a $15,000 bonus. And, yeah, now it looks like that's something that will have to be reversed. According to Triplett, the Saints said this afternoon they are aware of the latest developments. At this time, they have no further comments. So, look, I didn't even know the guy existed. Got to be honest. I didn't hear some of the praise that was heaped his way by Sean Payton during OTAs, but there you have it. And here within the next 2 weeks, the Saints are going to get rolling with minicamp. Pretty excited about Saints football this year. Same as we are LSU and UL, all three, I think, went over the bar of expectations in some ways last year. We've talked about this already during the offseason, right? I mean, the Saints last year were a juggernaut in the regular season. LSU, a couple of questionable calls in College Station, away from being 10-2, won the Fiesta Bowl, finished number 6 in the country, and, of course, the Raging Cajuns with 7 wins in the first 12 games. Won the Sun Belt Western Division. How do you follow up on that if you're Billy Napier, Ed Ogeron, and Sean Payton? We are soon to find out. And we're going to be talking a lot of college and pro football, especially next week with SEC Media Days, as I mentioned, with mini camps coming up on the pro side. But today, we're going to pay a lot of love and shed a lot of light on the prep side. Don't forget, Shane Savoy, St. Thomas More, with us at 5:15. Dennis Skane, Cecilia Football, one of his products, Raymond Calais, currently playing for Billy Napier and the Cajuns. Coach Skanes will join B2BS today in less than an hour at 5:45. And James Buehr, straight up 6 o'clock, a live update from the larger school's day in the sun. Hopefully no rain. The Quick Slant 7-on-7 out at Cougar Stadium. So a busy final 90 minutes. CD, let's finish up hour number one. And we'll do that as we always do, with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Voice. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Clutch. I talk every day about our final word sponsor, right? The Village Station, Maurice Avenue. They came up clutch for you truly today. Spent some time in Kaplan. Had a lot of fun at the home of the Pirates, spending some time with friends down there. And on the way back, yep, not sure I would have made it where I needed to go without the fill up there. And, of course, once I did that, had to stop, go inside, and get what was a belated lunch. And so I could be here on an empty stomach. I could be here courtesy of an Uber that had to get me stranded on the side of the road. Neither of those things came to fruition. Shout out to my good friends, the Broussards, and everybody at the Village Station today and every day. You are clutch. We'll be right back in with Hour 2. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
So do I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. I'm Ben Love, and you're dialed in to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. The famous Clint D in tow from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. I'll repeat what I said in hour one. With inclement weather heading this way, it's a number to know for proactive measures, and hopefully you don't need it for reactive measures. If you do, it's not just our studio sponsor. It's a number you need, 237-ROOF. That's 237-7663. So far, however, so good with the weather, and we'll hope that it stays that way. Looking good right now as I sit inside the Taproom River Ranch. I want to talk a little about Melvin Gordon, Chargers running back. He's got a demand he's putting out there. I'll share it with you momentarily, but I really want to open the floor back up to our sink or swim question of the day, because I think it's one everyone could sink their teeth into. Sony Michel, Todd Gurley, a couple of Georgia Bulldog alums that are now breaking a lot of tackles in the NFL, went back and forth on Twitter. They were asking who's the best to ever do it for Georgia at that position. It's not a debate. The answer is Herschel Walker, but still it's fun that they had that debate. But it did get us to thinking. And now we're asking you, rank your top three LSU running backs of all time. The response on social media has been resplendent. Let's get our first over the airwaves, and we'll get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Frank, you want to go in? We want you to. How are you?
I'm doing good, Ben. I've been better. If I had to hazard a guess on LSU's running backs, let me get Leonard Fournette. And I can't think that far back because my mind's been twisted. I don't know if you talked to Clint, but the past goings on, the reason I haven't called the last couple of days is because everything going on with Coach Rogue, that kind of hit me heavy. It's not a fair thing to just look at life and think about sports, and sports is all it is. When you think about sports, it's an escape, but when you lose your pop, that's a punch in the gut. And the strangest thing that my father ever told me was when I was 16, because a friend of mine passed away in a boat accident, and he said the greatest crime ever committed by a father is the chance to outlive his son. And that has taken my breath away. I can't fully express what I'm feeling, but I wish the Robichaux family nothing but peace. I hope that they are happy and know that for whatever reason, the good Lord said, it's time to come back home.
Frank, you did a pretty darn good job right there, in my opinion. I understand why you haven't called, but I got to tell you, this call probably hit a lot of people right in the gut as well. Thanks for expressing what's on your mind, Frank. You know we appreciate you.
Thank you, man.
The only thing I hate is that we're apparently dealing with about a 2 Mississippi delay here. So, Frank, sorry about some of the gap in communication. But, you know, I'll say this. And we got time for more if you'd like to call in. 706-0111. I've had two moments this week that have kind of hit me in the gut a little bit. And understand this. Again, we've got a sink or swim topic out there. I can get to Melvin Gordon, but Frank's right. Sports are entertainment and escape and a release. And I do my best to for you. And look, I'll be selfish. I do it for me, too. I love sports. I love talking about it. I love getting away from some of the things in my life that aren't always fun and rosy, like we all do. But a call from Frank today and T on Monday. I believe T led off our 4 o'clock hour Monday and then Frank today in our 5 o'clock hour. Those hit me like a 4x4 between the eyes because it's a world that Clint and I occupy and everybody on this station, anybody who does what we do, you have to have the fresh information, you have to have the entertaining stories, and again, you always have to spin it forward, right? What's happening next? It would be a crime to look past, you know, a day or 2 days or a week or a month or even a year of remembering Tony Robichaux. And so I'm glad I got the calls. I guess that's what I'm trying to explain right now, because we did an entire show last Wednesday, July 3rd, hours after the passing of Tony Robichaux, where we took calls from Dan McDonald, who could hardly, toward the end of it, keep any of his composure together. And I got to tell you, I think it's one of the best damn interviews that's ever been on this show, period. Because it was raw, and it was appropriate in the moment, and the man was speaking about his friend and somebody that meant a lot to him. And so what I have to remember, and these calls are giving me the opportunity to do so, is that just because we talked about it on a Wednesday, hey, that's not the end of that. It was also the day before a national holiday, a lot of people out of town. I want the remembrances of Tony Robichaux to continue on this show as long as you do. So, again, thanks to T and thanks to Frank. All right, we're going to take a trip out again to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Mike, we are dealing with a slight delay, so please excuse that. But what you got for us?
Oh, man, the best LSU running back has to be Kevin Falk, man. I was born in the 80s, and from what I remember and what I've seen, I got to give it to Kevin Falk. And, man, I got to commend you on last week, what you did for Tony Robichaux, man. That was an excellent show. He did excellent interviews, man, and kudos to you, man, and Robichaux family. Was, if they heard that, man, they'd be proud of you, man. And you have a good day, bro.
I appreciate you, Mike. I do, and I'm going to say that wasn't as much about me as it was Jacques Doucet, Paul Maneri, Ronnie Rance, Matt Roth, and especially Dan McDonald. Again, if you haven't heard that interview, all the credit in the world to Dan. You need to listen to that man. He was unbelievable last Wednesday. But, Mike, thanks for the words. All right, we'll take another. Back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. David, thank you for waiting. The floor is yours.
Hey, how's it going, Ben? Unfortunately, the first one, I've only been able to watch in clips. That would be the only Heisman Trophy winner for the Tigers. Second one, of course, Billy Cannon. Second one, Kevin Falk. And, of course, Leonard Fournette. And it's kind of a tough call between Falk and Charles Alexander. I give Falk the nod because he was more of an absolute force anytime he touched the ball. You could use him in the slot as a receiver. You could return him, use him returning kicks and everything else. And even by today's standards, you could have suited Cannon up. He was just such a rare blend of size, speed, and strength that he would have been able to play anywhere, even in today's game. And a lot of those players back from the 50s, you can't really say that a lot about them. You don't even have to speak about Fournette. The guy was a beast, able to take care of take over a game by himself. That's my take.
I completely agree. And, David, thank you for the call. Completely agree with what you said on Billy Cannon, a freak in any era. I know there are more like him in this era, but he would still stand out. Not a question in my mind either. And for what it's worth, my answer in hour one, I'll repeat it for you now. I go Kevin Faulk one, all around, receiving, rushing, returning kicks, phenomenal. I'll go Kevin Faulk one, give me Billy Cannon two, and I'm hedging bets, people, fence sitting. I went tied for third, Leonard Fournette and Charles Alexander. Let's turn it over to Facebook. Kurt S., Faulk, Hilliard, Cannon. Yeah, that's a good drop there on Dalton Hilliard. Brandon R., Faulk, Fournette, Cannon, Geis. Darius certainly warrants consideration. And Jack S., Cecil Collins. And, yeah, Cecil the Diesel has come up a time or two so far. I mean, just an absolute shooting star. But much like a shooting star, it didn't last for long. But holy hell, was it bright. Holy hell was it bright while it lasted. And as I mentioned, still running out of his shoe, I believe, against Mississippi State and still putting up about 250 on the rushing yardage total there. Even our guy RP3 is getting in on the act. Maybe he'll steal this topic and make it his own tomorrow morning. Yeah, just having some fun, Ray. But I like your list. One, Billy Cannon. Two, Kevin Faulk. Three, Dalton Hilliard. Yeah, those Patterson players getting a lot of love there. Kenny Hilliard. Even the MVP of an SEC championship game back in the day. How do I know? I was there. And it was a lot of fun to watch. All right, we're just about done with our college football portion of the show because we're going to turn it over to high school next. Shane Savoy, 5:15. Dennis Gaines, 5:45. And James Buers, straight up 6 o'clock, going all in on the quick slant 7-on-7. You're listening to Bumper Sports. And we'll be right back to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
He's Bumper.
Let's go! Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 103.7thegame.com. Get in on the conversation. Call on the game hotline. 706-0111. 706-0111.
I really clicked with the coaching staff, and it was just a place where I felt really comfortable and stuff. And, you know, once it felt like it was a place I wanted to go, I pulled the trigger because, you know, I didn't want to lose my spot, you know?
Back in, and yeah, I think our next guest, he'll recognize that voice. Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out, having fun at the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Our pleasure to take you right down the road. Yeah, literally, just right down Collie Saloon. Aboard the ARTCO Equipment Hotline, offensive coordinator for the St. Thomas More Cougars. And really, the Quick Slant 7-on-7 tournament is his brainchild in a large way. It's Shane Savoy. Coach, how are you today?
Good to be with you, Ben. Man, I feel like I should be down the road with you rather than being over here running through these fields.
I know the kids will be playing awfully late, but trust me, this place will still be open. Let's start with the voice we heard as we came into this segment. Your starting quarterback, senior Caleb Holstein, on why he chose Harvard. I'll get your thoughts. As a proud coach and mentor, that's a really big milestone for that young man.
What a great opportunity. You know, and that's the beauty of the Ivies. It's just such an opportunity, but it's an opportunity for 10, 20, 30 years down the road. And the maturity. I'm just so proud of Caleb. I couldn't be prouder of how mature he is through this entire process and how he evaluated different schools and different opportunities. It was a pleasure for me to see kind of the work that we put in and the mentoring that we've done with him and to see it play out in such a big decision in his life, that, you know, an Ivy opportunity was something that he was definitely looking into and ended up, you know, committing to. So I'm excited for him and, you know, looking forward to seeing what he'll be able to do for us one more year.
Coach, let's look back at yesterday's small school division of the Quick Slant 7-on-7. And then we'll look forward to today. But at this time yesterday, I was watching Vermilion Catholic put up 33 in their opening game, and they went on to win the whole thing. So your perspective on the Screaming Eagles, Leger and company looked really good slinging the football.
They really did a great job. I was impressed with them all night long. But really, the game, to me, the whole tournament came down to one play. It was at the end of the game against St. Martinville. St. Martinville had intercepted a pass on the first drive. St. Martinville was, an interception is worth 3 points in our 7-on-7 games. So St. Martinville was up 3-0, at which point neither offense was able to do anything for the rest of the game. And with about 40 seconds left in the game, St. Martinville throws a deep pass down the right sideline, and the cornerback for Vermilion Catholic goes up and makes a huge interception with 20 seconds left to tie the game, send it into overtime, and then the same kid actually breaks up the two-point conversion or the overtime play for St. Martinville to win the game and put them in the finals. And then in the finals, they were back to their normal offensive ways. Man, they really looked good yesterday. I was impressed. Leger really looked good. He threw the ball well. I believe it's Leger is the quarterback's name, but man, I was impressed watching him swinging around and really how well Vermilion Catholic played, how well St. Martinville competed. Lauraville, goodness, people were raving about their athleticism, their quarterback. Everybody knows about him, but quite a few kids around him. After they played Notre Dame, Coach Louis Cook walked over and said, man, Lauraville has some really talented guys that play in that 2A division, you know. Sacred Heart of Ville Platte, I know they were a shocker or a surprise for a lot of guys. I know we don't get to see them much during the summer, but it was good to see them yesterday. They competed well throughout the day and did a lot of really good things. So it was a great day altogether. You know, for the most part, everybody showed up. The weather held out for us. It ended up being a beautiful day.
And there's so much to dig into from what our guest just said. It's offensive coordinator for St. Thomas More, Shane Savoie, looking back at day one of the 2019 Quickslant 7-on-7. VC, I will just submit this, Coach. I know that LCA's moved up to Class 2A now. The Screaming Eagles are going to give people screaming fits, I think, this year in Class 1A. I'm glad you mentioned Lauraville in 2A as well. And don't forget about Vince Derwin and St. Martinville dropping down to 3A. You said it. They were really good yesterday. I think they're going to be one of the cream of the crop in that classification. Anything you saw that leads you to disagree?
No, actually, what I would have seen yesterday would have told me even more so. You know, because with Coach Vince, they're going to be physical, they're going to run the football, and they're going to be able to do that against anybody. But to be able to show up at a 7-on-7 and defend the pass and then be able to throw it effectively, that's a whole other avenue that you can add to what they can already do. And I really expect them to make a lot of noise in 3A next year. I think that's going to be one of the top teams in the states going into it. Vermilion Catholic in 1A, if you can throw and catch it, decent, you're going to be good. They can throw and catch it really well. And I'd be shocked if, and you know, I think Division IV is what they're playing in, if they're not one of the top teams at the end of the year for sure.
I know the action is getting underway as we speak at Cougar Stadium for the larger schools divisions. Coach, give us a preview of the teams that are in action. We'll get to your Cougars here momentarily, but who else is coming that you're excited to see and compete against?
Well, we have a let's see, North Vermilion's going to be here, Northside from across town, Como right next door. Westgate's going to show up here. They have two kids with major college offers all over the place. Southside will be the first look at varsity competition for Southside for a lot of people in the area, so I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. Washington Marion out of Lake Charles. Karen Crow has a number of Division I guys over there people are excited about. Pineville and Tioga, both out of the Alexandria area, coming down for it. Lafayette High, Cecilia, and Turlings, those are the teams we'll have here today. Really excited. A number of those teams, I think, are going to be making runs come August, you know, in the regular season and in the postseason. So there's an excitement about those guys and what's going to take place.
How much do you have the ability to go beyond Caleb Holstein in today's event? I know you're trying to win this thing. He's your starter. But behind him, obviously, people looking forward to Walker Howard as well. For our Cougars fans listening, do you have the opportunity to do some rotating, or do you have two teams that are out there maybe even?
Well, we'll have two teams today, so they'll both get a number of different game opportunities, and that's one thing I'm excited about is being able to get them as many reps as I can get both of them. And then when we get into tournament play, well, you know, we'll kind of play it by ear and see if there's some opportunities for the young gun to get in there and do some things as well. But, you know, the JV team will also have four games in pool play for them to play, and we'll have enough games today to get all our kids opportunities to be evaluated. And really, for me, that's the beauty of 7-on-7. It gives us so much opportunity to evaluate all of those skill positions and give them opportunities to get in competitive situations to be evaluated. You know, so often kids don't get those opportunities. Well, now they can get those opportunities. And for us as coaches, it's coachable moments, but also a huge evaluation piece.
Shane Savoie, offensive coordinator for St. Thomas More Football, has been our guest. And I'll remind everyone listening, we're going to have a live update from James Buers at 6 o'clock. But you should follow this bad boy on your own. And you can. It's easy and it's free. Just go to your social media preferred account, Twitter, Facebook, and search Quick Slant 7-on-7. They've got live scoring updates, and our current guest, he's ensuring that all those scores are current. Coach, it was a lot of fun yesterday. I appreciate you rolling out the red carpet. What I can tell you is this, Danny Jones lives a very, very charmed life in that AC press box.
He does. He's got it set up the right way over there. So we're excited to have him always be a part of our family, but we were so excited to have you guys here with us yesterday.
We're going to keep the coverage going today. Coach, I know you got to get out there and watch your guys and help pull the strings on the offense. Thanks for doing this today.
No doubt, man. Thanks for all y'all do for high school football, and thank you for getting over here yesterday and all the things you do for us.
That's Shane Savoie. All right, we got to throw it to a break. We'll be right back in, and when you know it, it's almost 5:30, so we're going to throw some shade. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back into the place to be, the Taproom River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
We found some shade, and yeah, it's time to throw it. Bumper to Bumper Sports back into the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Our thanks to Shane Savoie. Join us in the previous segment. In our next segment, in about 10 or 11 minutes, Dennis Gaines, head football coach at Cecilia High, will give us the lowdown on the Bulldogs and how about a new stadium for Cecilia High football over in St. Martin Parish beginning this September. But before any of that, yeah, we do it every single day. It's that time to serve notice and give you a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers. You can trust them inside your home and to beautify life outside your home. Alex will be the one to work on your shades and awnings while Todd mans the installation of your patio covers and those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the team at Patio Center is ready to up your patio game. And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
A twofer for you on a Thursday. And wouldn't you know it, one comes from the NBA, the other from the NFL. Neither currently in season, but it's always talking season. And earlier today on Sirius XM Radio, Chauncey Billups won a championship with the Detroit Basketball Pistons. Played quite some time for George Karl in Denver for the Nuggets. He was a teammate while in Denver of Carmelo Anthony's, and he was asked why Carmelo is no longer in the association, despite the fact that some of his cohorts in age, like LeBron James, still are. This was an interesting answer, and certainly he was telling the truth, but there's no doubt that it also constitutes, even truthfully, some shade.
I tell you what, it's so crazy. I feel bad for Melo, and here's why. Melo was like a good teammate, man. Like,
yeah, it's a great
Melo
guy.
Practiced every day. He didn't miss any games. Now, the only thing I will say, and I've even told Melo this, scoring 30 meant too much to Melo.
Hmm.
It meant too much because he could have games where he had 20, 22, we win the game, and he's mad. He might have 36, and he's in there, you know, we lose the game, and he's in there picking everybody up. Scoring 30 meant too much. But I think now you look fast forward to tape, and the reason why he's not in the league, because he's still worthy,
yeah,
is he hasn't mentally taken that step back to say, okay, I'll come in and play against backups. I'll try to help the team out. I know I might not be able to close, but I just want to help. Well, he's not there.
I have to shoot you 100% straight. I don't even really constitute that as throwing shade. That might be the realest talk ever from Chauncey Billups. Scoring 30 meant too much to Melo. Doesn't that say everything about an individual within a team sport? And over the years on this show, I have said two things about Carmelo Anthony. I've said this before I had a show when he was more in his heyday. Number one, he's one of the most gifted offensive players to ever lace him up in the NBA. I stand by that. Because of the physicality, the guy was shaped like a bowling ball, and yet he could still get into crevices, still go around you and yam in your face. He could jump. I mean, from anywhere, he could hit jumpers, fallbacks. Melo had an incredibly deep arsenal. In fact, during the 2004 Olympics, yeah, I know, it's the one where young Carmelo, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron took bronze along with Allen Iverson and Tim Duncan. He was the best offensive player on that team. Melo was an incredible offensive force. But the second thing I said is also true. And Chauncey Billups just spoke to it. The guy was a black hole. The ball came in, it didn't go out. Carmelo Anthony is where ball movement goes to die. And that's why he's not in the association anymore. So I know. It fits the segment. I guess you could call it throwing shade. I'm not sure that I would because of how much truth was packed in there. Here's the other one I wanted to get to. And I teased this at the top of the hour. Melvin Gordon, he has already let it be known. He is ready to skip camp for the Chargers and demand a trade unless he receives a new contract. Currently, the former Wisconsin Badger, he's heading into the last year of his contract. It's a fifth-year option, and it's worth $5.6 million. The guy scored 14 touchdowns in 12 games last year. Certainly, he's worth more than that. I understand market values. And he even commented last year, while Le'Veon Bell was going through his season-long holdout in Pittsburgh, that he gets it and that it could be him in the future. Well, now it is him. And here's what Gordon's agent told the mothership. Quote, if we'd gotten a respectable offer, we wouldn't be here, but he felt disrespected, end quote. I actually am going to fence sit on this one, too, because I get it from the player's side, and I also understand the organization. They've got him for a certain amount. They don't want to have to re-up him. They feel like they shouldn't have to at this point, right? He's still dealing with a deal that's in place. So what I'm going to throw shade at is here's where we are in professional sports, especially in the NFL. I think by all accounts we could recognize that Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon, at a minimum, these are top 10 running backs in the league. And yet now, in consecutive seasons, here is where we are. It's kind of like what Gordon's agent said. If something else had happened, we wouldn't be here. Well, that's the problem. We are here. And now we're getting here off-season after off-season. I'm throwing shade at the idea that we can't find some ways around this, whether it's an offer that's not respectable for a guy that's currently under contract, whether it's offering, you know, a certain franchise tag to a guy who thinks he shouldn't qualify for that position, doesn't want the tag. The business of sports is just that, it's business, but God, is it screwing up sports more often than not. I think I'll probably get a few amens if I throw shade at that.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Just one guy with a mic and a few opinions. All right, when we come back, time to wrap up hour number two. Dennis Gaines, head football coach at Cecilia High, will join us. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Game and 1037thegame.com.
Here's your 1037 The Game weather update.
A couple things to report right now, and that includes an accident at the St. John Cemetery, which will be right off of a Souvenir Gate. And also there is an accident at 2863 Ambassador Caffrey Parkway, not far from Iberia Bank. So make sure you're aware of that as you're making your way back home on this Thursday afternoon, going to Thursday evening. Currently, it is 90 degrees, partly cloudy skies, and we got more B2BS on the way. Be there live when the LSU Tigers play the Texas Longhorns in Austin for the first time in history. The LSU football team takes to the road on September 7th to play in Darrell K. Royal Texas Memorial Stadium for the first time in program history. And you want to be there. 103.7 The Game and J.P. Thibodeau, Honda, Nissan, Kia want to send you and a friend to catch every last minute of the action. So sign up today in the 103.7 The Game clubhouse at 1037thegame.com for your chance to win. This Tiger road trip includes two game day tickets, airfare from Baton Rouge to Austin, two nights at the Driscoll Hotel, transportation, and access to the pregame party. Winner will be drawn August 16th. The only way you can win is to sign up right now in the 103.7 The Game clubhouse. This Tiger road trip to the University of Texas is powered by J.P. Thibodeau Honda Nissan Kia, celebrating 50 years in Acadiana and Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game.
Acadiana's largest beer festival is back. Gulf Brew returns to Blackham Coliseum for its 12th year on Saturday, July 20th from 6 to 9 p.m. Get ready to do the brew and enjoy tasting craft beers from brewers all along the Gulf Coast. Over 200 beers all in one place with food and live music. Tickets are available by visiting dothebrew.org or by visiting the Acadiana Center for the Arts. Must be 21 to enter. Support provided by Schilling Distributing, Crescent Crown, Party Central, and Delta Media. Don't miss Gulf Brew July 20th.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed, could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Jim Rome here with your Rome Report.
I'm going to do my very best to keep things positive about last night's All-Star game. And the only thing that saved that game last night was one Shane Robert Bieber, your 2019 MLB All-Star MVP. What an absolute legend. Because when you're talking about Shane Bieber, you're talking about a guy who was a walk-on at UC Santa Barbara, my alma mater. Yes, he's a gaucho, of course. And if you didn't know that before, you knew it last night with the way he handled his business when he entered the game in the fifth. No walks, no hits, no nothing. Three up, three down. Shane Robert Bieber, if you need him. And that game and that night absolutely did. It needed somebody to come in and take control, to seize the moment and be a boss. And that's exactly what he did. Game recognizes game. Gaucho recognizes gaucho. And I couldn't be more proud of you, brother.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets?
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody.
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it. Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Back in and barreling down on straight up 6 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game, hanging out as we do every Thursday at the Tap Room River Ranch. We are done at 6:30, sending you to the Lone Star State for the Astros and the Rangers, kickstarting the second half of the Major League Baseball season. Again, 6:30, the pregame show. Astro launch, 7:05 first pitch here at the Tap Room. There'll be live music. Eric Gautreaux laying down sound with no cover, 8 until 11. And don't forget, the Saturday Summer Music Series continues. Salma Lawsaw, same time, same structure, no cover charge, 8 to 11. Sal will be here on Saturday. And you know what's interesting? I had a great thought talking with somebody here at the Taproom River Ranch during the break. They heard the Carmelo, Chauncey Billups bit. That is...
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Back in and barreling down on straight up 6 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game, hanging out as we do every Thursday at the Tap Room River Ranch. We are done at 6:30, sending you to the Lone Star State for the Astros and the Rangers, kickstarting the second half of the Major League Baseball season. Again, 6:30, the pregame show. Astro launch, 7:05 first pitch here at the Tap Room. There'll be live music. Eric Gautreaux laying down sound with no cover, 8 until 11. And don't forget, the Saturday Summer Music Series continues. Salma Lawsaw, same time, same structure, no cover charge, 8 to 11. Sal will be here on Saturday. And you know what's interesting? I had a great thought talking with somebody here at the Taproom River Ranch during the break. They heard the Carmelo, Chauncey Billups bit. That is straight up AAU mentality, and all due disrespect is meant there. When scoring, form, and how you perform is more important than the team, that's how you create somebody who gets to the association, and scoring 30 means too much. Just thought I'd bring that up to Ty. All right, earlier you heard from Shane Savoy. We'll take another trip out to Cougar Stadium, and we'll talk with the head football coach at Cecilia High. It's been an interesting week for those Bulldogs. That and more we'll get to right now with Dennis Gaines. Time to take a look at the Cecilia Bulldogs. Our pleasure to bring back into the program Dennis Gaines, head coach of Cecilia. Coach, a busy day with the 7-on-7 out at St. Thomas More. Thanks for joining us. How's it going so far?
Man, it's going well. I appreciate you having me on. Yeah, it's a long day today. We had workouts this morning. We headed to 7-on-7, but... the kids are working hard. It's been a really good summer so far, so we're excited for August to get here.
I got to tell you, yesterday we had Coach Derwan from St. Martinville over, and he said, we are opening up the first game ever at the new Cecilia Stadium. Tell our listeners about your new digs.
Oh, I think it's going to be, as long as everything goes as scheduled, man, it's going to be really, really nice. The field, we're not quite on it yet, so we're not allowed to run on it. Just yet, but they're putting, I think they're about to do the finishing touches. So we're excited about getting on it. And, I think it's something that Cecilia High School's need it for a while. And I think they'll have someone right there on campus because we've been driving to the junior high to play games. So I think it'll be something that the community deserves and has deserved for quite a long time.
Really big deal for St. Martin Parish. Coach, you're obviously participating today with the big boys over at the Quickslant 7-on-7 tournament. Tell me about the competition and how that can improve your squad.
Man, I think it's always good to go against other people. I think if you're not careful, you can do too many 7-on-7s and tournaments and stuff like that. I think we've kind of figured it out how to get just enough work in with the 7-on-7s. But it's always good to go against other people and compete, see your kids compete, and kind of get back into that mode. It's just the wins and losses really don't matter in these tournaments. They don't really mean much. It's just more about getting better at what you do and making sure that you know you're taking advantage of the opportunity to compete with some other kids. So I mean, we're excited about it. We don't put a lot of stock into the wins and losses. As far as how many games you're going to win and all that, I don't think that's ever really if you win a 7-on-7 tournament, I don't know how often that's turned into success in the fall, but. It certainly helps you with, I find, especially defensively, because you're at such a disadvantage, it just helps you get better at the little things. And so we're excited about it, man. I know the kids are ready to go and compete against somebody else, so that's always a plus.
Talking with Cecilia football head coach Dennis Gaines. Offensively, who are some of the players that are going to really kind of pull the strings for you, not just today, but during the regular season?
Man, really, it's going to start up front. I think our O-line, we were really young at O-line last year, and we're going to have some, I think our offensive line is going to be much improved. We have a host of people in the backfield. I don't think we're going to have one superstar back there, but, I know we're going to have Dillard Kale, Raymond Kale over at UL, his little brother, is going to be a senior. He's going to play tailback for us, and along with Denarius Dormay, and we have some receivers, Jalen Celestine, and Ethan Howard and Kennard Williams, some guys that have kind of waited their turn and are going to have a solid season for us. So we're excited offensively. It'll be a little bit different look than what we've been more spread in the years past. We'll probably be a lot more two back and kind of set the tone with a run before to open up the pass. But those are the guys I think that'll be be the guys to look for.
I will play the same game, Coach, on the defensive side of the football. Some of your leaders on and off of the field.
Again, man, it starts up front. Elijah Krakian is going to be a senior defensive tackle for us. He started, unfortunately, he started both ways for us last year. He won't have to carry that load this year, but he was actually an offensive all-district player. I mean, he's really a primary defensive guy, but we have some older guys that'll be coming back up front. Cohen Heller, I think, college football player also. He'll be a Mike linebacker. And Jalen Celestine, he has an offer from Baylor at corner. So we have, we have a few pieces in there. We got some young guys, too, that are going to have to grow up fast. But I think if they continue to play with the mentality that we had in spring, I think it could be a salty group.
Coach, just one more for you. I know it's a busy day, but the Cecilia community – lost a legend earlier this week in Coach Wag. Obviously, the legendary Cecilia teams of the early 90s, state champ in 95. I guess your reaction to that and what you've witnessed in the community in the days since.
Man, I'm glad you brought it up. I was going to try to bring it up if you hadn't. But, losing Coach Wag, I mean, he was such a big part of this community. The thing, I mean, he changed so many lives. You can just tell, we have a few coaches on staff that play for him, and just the way they talk about him and what kind of person he was, what kind of coach he was. You know, really what Coach Wag and Coach DeVillier and, Coach Guidry, that group, what they were able to build at Cecilia is something that we're trying to emulate. We're trying to get the program back to where they had it at that level. To lose him is, in the community, I know, is a loss, but hopefully people are taking this as also as a time to celebrate everything he accomplished. And many lives have changed. I know that for a fact. I haven't heard anybody speak anything but just reverence for Coach Wag. And he was, he was tough, but he was fair, and he was held people accountable, and he just turned kids into men, which is what we all are trying to do in this job. So And, you know, he won a lot of football games along the way. But I know the reason he did that job was to help these kids grow up and to prepare them for the real world after football. So he's certainly in our prayers. We've been praying for him as a football team, and we'll continue to do so going forward.
And our guest has been Dennis Gaines, head coach of Cecilia High. And, Coach, thanks again. Good luck to the Bulldogs today through the regular season. We'll be following.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all having me on.
And how about that? As we are almost to the end of hour two, a couple things that I would, I guess, remark upon after that interview. Number one, he was hoping I'd get there, and you know we were going to, right? Earlier this week, we told you and informed a little bit, in our opinions, the passing of another area legend. And within a week's time after Tony Robichaud's death, we learned about Coach James Jimmy Wagon's back, Coach Wag, who was not only a state title winner in the late 70s near where he grew up in Vacherie at St. James, did it 95 for Cecilia, was at Beauchesne, the Gators after that. And so I'm glad that Coach Gaines shared some of his thoughts and reflected what the team and the community are feeling. But also, something I didn't know. This happens to me just about every show, right? I get to meet somebody, talk to somebody that tells me something new. I didn't know that there was a little Calais out there playing for Cecilia. And sure enough, Raymond's got a little brother that will be a senior and in the backfield for the Bulldogs during this 2019 campaign. 2 hours, just about, in the rear view. We got 30 minutes coming ahead. On the other side of this break, we're going to give you live updates from the larger schools division at the Quick Slant 7-on-7. James Buers with the Acadiana Advocate to kick off our 6 o'clock hour. And then Houston Astros baseball. They begin the second half of the Major League Baseball season. 6:30 Astro launch, 7:05 first pitch. Stros, Rangers, a couple of teams that love hating each other and playing each other in the AL West. So don't go anywhere. We got plenty more show to go. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one. We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll our third and final hour. Rolling out the red carpet for you from the Taproom River Ranch. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 1037 The Game. We're about to get right back out to Cougar Stadium. Time to get an update from the 2019 Quick Slant 7-on-7 tournament. But don't forget, Clint and I are done at 6:30. That's when we send you to Globe Life Park in Arlington. 6:30 is the pregame show. Astro launch, 7:05, first pitch. Stros at the Rangers. It's the beginning of the second half of the MLB season. All right, enough of that. Let's talk more high school football. And out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline we go. Thrilled to welcome back on James Buers with the Acadiana Advocate. James, how goes it out at Cougar Stadium?
It goes pretty good, man. I'm actually just now getting here about 15 minutes ago, so I haven't been out here too long. I was running a little bit behind today, but yeah, I'm just getting a look at Cecilia play Turlings Catholic, and you know, Cecilia is an interesting team that I'm kind of keeping an eye on this year after having a rough year last year. You know, the year before that, they got to the quarterfinals, and last year was kind of a wake-up call, as Dennis Gaines has told me previously, for not only the players but for the coaching staff. So I'm kind of interested to see how the Bulldogs can rebound this year.
You know, we just spoke with Dennis Gaines, so that's appropriate. And we'll get back to the larger division schools, day two for the Quick Slant 7-on-7. But how about a recap from yesterday? James, we know that Vermilion Catholic won it all. Tell us some of your other takeaways from day one of the event.
Well, yeah, you know, I was not here the entire time. I was able to get a glimpse of pretty much everything, you know, in our area. I thought, you know, the team or the player that impressed me the most was Ben Broussard, the Notre Dame quarterback. You know, Ben's a kid who was a starter last year and is coming into his second year as a starter. And that's kind of a rarity for Notre Dame. A lot of times they start so many seniors on their team that typically they're not returning a lot of starters. And especially when you have a returning starter at the quarterback position, I think it's kind of a luxury for Lewis Cook's team, and especially a quarterback who has an opportunity to lead a repeat. You know, that doesn't happen too often for Notre Dame. And Ben is, you know, a kid who really excels as a runner, and in a 7-on-7 setting, you kind of take that away because quarterbacks can't run with the ball, but he's a true dual threat in my opinion. You know, he really can throw the ball. He has nice touch, accuracy. I think he has good chemistry with his receivers. He just looks like a guy who knows how to win, knows how to run an offense. And I was impressed with what he did yesterday. Another kid I really thought looked great was Zy Alexander, the Louisville quarterback. And it seems like I've been covering Zy since he was, you know, for 10 years because he's been playing since he was an eighth grader, and he's been the starting quarterback because he was a freshman. But he actually missed most of last year after he broke his collarbone in week two. So he didn't play much. But this year, you know, Terry Martin's in his second year. I think he wants to you know, utilize Zy's skill set more. So he's even been throwing him out at wide receiver in practices, and he did that yesterday in the 7-on-7. And he caught a couple touchdowns and threw some as well. So I'm interested to see what Zy does this season. You know, he's a big kid, long, can jump. You know, he's kind of a mismatch for a lot of DBs. So I'm interested to see what Zy can do both at the quarterback position and at receiver.
Our guest is James Beers with the Acadiana Advocate, joining us live from Cougar Stadium. And now we'll get some more live updates from day two of the Quick Slant 7-on-7 tournament. I know that you're watching Cecilia and Terling's Catholic. Anything else that you've seen so far since you've been out there? Maybe some of the games that started at 5:25, perhaps 5:50?
Unfortunately, no. Like I said, I've my time here has been somewhat limited, so I wish I could offer you more. But I'll tell you this, I'm really looking forward to seeing guys like Caleb Goldstein. I know we mention him all the time, just about what he can do. But he's entering his third year, at least as someone who's played. You know, his second year as a starter, and also I'd like to see his backup, Luke Howard. He's a kid who's already gotten offers from LSU and Alabama, and I've yet to see him really in a competitive setting like this. He got into the game in some blowouts, but at that point, you know, St. Thomas More is usually trying to run the ball and run out the clock. So I'm interested to see what Walker Howard can do and what Caleb can do as well with the STM offense.
Some of the other, non-STM teams that you're looking forward to seeing. Again, the bigger schools are going today, James. So, and, you know, one that I would ask you about is Southside, their first time on this kind of stage playing varsity football. So give me some of your thoughts on the non-Cougars teams out there today.
Yeah, you know, as far as Southside goes, that's an interesting team, too, because obviously they're entering the LHSA as a 5A school, which is, you know, that's a huge jump for a school that was only playing JV games or, you know, varsity sort of scrimmages last year against smaller schools, like 1A size schools. I think Josh Fondo is laying out a really nice culture there. I think the player to keep an eye on is their quarterback, Dylan Monette, not to be confused with the running back at Acadiana, Dylan Monette, but another Dylan Monette plays quarterback at Southside, and apparently he's just a terrific athlete, can really throw the ball. So I'm excited to get a look at him. Westgate, too, is another team. You know, they've got so much talent at the receiver position between, you know, Kayshawn Booty and McColvin's son. Even Turlings, I'm watching them right now, you know, their quarterback enters his second season starting. LeBlanc is his last name. His first name is escaping me at the moment. But he enters his second year as a starter, so I'm kind of intrigued to see what he offers. I know they've got a nice running back in spring, Larkin Spring, who's supposed to kind of take over the lead role in the running back position this year. So there's a lot of really interesting teams at this 7-on-7. Again, this is a 7-on-7. It's not real football. You can only glean so much from it because, as coaches will tell you, this game is still won and lost at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, I remember watching St. Martinville yesterday, and Vincent Duran was telling me when they had a play at the goal, you know, around the goal line, they were like, well, we would have run it in there. You know, we wouldn't have thrown it there, but we had to throw it because it's a 7-on-7. So, you know, you can only get so much from this, but still, I think it's nice to be able to see the quarterbacks and the receivers and the defensive backs and what they can do out here.
James, you know, we appreciate the time. And I know that you got a job to do, so let the folks know the coverage that's coming tonight, and then, of course, tomorrow morning in the Acadian Advocate.
Yeah, you can check out a story I wrote from yesterday's Quick Slant tournament. Yesterday was the small schools and junior varsity teams. I basically wrote about some of the small schools' quarterbacks. Two of the names I mentioned earlier were Ben Broussard and Zay Alexander. They're featured in it, as well as a Vermilion Catholics quarterback, JT Leger, and ERAS quarterback, Luke LeBlanc. All of those kids I really feel like have chances to have really strong years for some of the smaller school programs. And then I'll have another recap of today's action, probably focusing on similar things with the bigger schools.
James, keep doing what you do, bud. We appreciate the update.
All right, not a problem. Thanks so much, Ben.
James Viewers with the Acadiana Advocate. Yeah, you hear the yelling out there. Live football bullets flying. And so far, the weather cooperating. I am not too far down the road on Cotley Saloon at the Taproom River Ranch, so the weather holding up, and we're looking forward to what should be a second great day and evening of high school football in July. It's a beautiful thing. In fact, in a moment, as we head into our final break of the program, Clint will give you score updates. We should have pool play games in the books that started at 5 o'clock, 5:25, and we might be getting close, I would think, to the end of the 5:50 games as well. But I want to give a nod to our sponsors yesterday and then our continued coverage today of the 2019 Quick Slant 7-on-7 tournament. It's a group that includes Gaddy's Pizza, locations in Crowley, Eunice, and Jennings, Howard Risk Advisors, and Orange Theory Fitness Lafayette, also a stone's throw away from where I'm at right now. All right, CD, speaking of right now, how about an update?
All right, Ben, a lot of things going on, and you brought up the fact we had some games go final, and the STM Westgate game, which was started at 5:50, that one is in the books. We'll start right there. Westgate beat STM 20-13. Como beats North Vermilion 12-6. And then you have them also beating the you have them beat North Vermilion 12-6.
Hold on. Did you just throw in a West Vermilion? I might have to get a clarifier.
North Vermilion. Yeah,
there it is.
Bad.
All right.
So many things going around. And also you have another matchup, North Vermilion STM JV. The JV squad took them down 21-0. Southside High, you were talking about them a little bit. Well, they wound up taking down Westgate 24-9. But before that, they lost to STM 29-3. And wrapping up what's going on in the Bayou Division, Como, they lose to Northside 16-12. Looking over at the Basin Division, Tioga beats Turlings 30-21. Pineville beats Carricrow 15-13. Cecilia loses to Lafayette, 21-6. I believe this is Westminster, I believe, taking on Turlings Catholic JV 14-8. Westminster gets the win. And then you have Turlings beats Cecilia. And finally, Pineville loses to Westminster 7-0.
There you go. We appreciate the updates, as always, from the famous Clint D. And if you want to get them for yourself, want to take a little more time with them, I encourage you to do that. Go to QuickSlant 7-on-7, search that, Facebook or Twitter. It's all free. And our main man, Shane Savoy, is updating that by the millisecond. So, Clint, we appreciate the update. Final break of the show. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live out of the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Hey, stats, not everything, but they can usually paint one heck of a picture. Hopefully we do the same with our words. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. And one more go on the show from the Taproom River Ranch. Here are some of those stats that I just saw crawl along the bottom ticker. The mothership getting ready for the second half of the Major League Baseball season. And they say, I would co-sign, this has been the first half of the home run, to say the least. Clint, I'm going to throw some of this at you, and I'll get your response. This is remarkable. there are three teams that before the All-Star break crushed 150 or more home runs. In the history of Major League Baseball prior to this season, there had only been two teams ever that have done that. CeeDee, three of them have done it already in 2019.
It's amazing to see what's been going on with the home run ball, and it's a lot different than what it was back in the 90s when you definitely had the speculation of it being the juice. Now it's all about the balls being juiced. I know Justin Verlander has talked a lot about that, and it feels like you look at what's been going on in the MLB, there's a lot of data that kind of shows, hey, this is an actual thing that's been going on and probably will continue to go on to where we just see more and more home runs, because that makes you more interested in a ball game to see a lot of taters, and especially in the world where fantasy football is king.
And I got one more for you, and this just supplements everything I told you. It's not as if a few individual teams are going rogue, right? They're not just outliers. In totality, Major League Baseball is on track in 2019 to beat the all-time, again, add all the teams in Major League Baseball up, add all their home runs up. The current high is in the 6,100s, and that was set in 2016. Right now, 2019, add everybody up, they're on track to beat what happened 3 years ago by 563 home runs. I'm pretty good with math. That's about 8 or 9%. Whoa. I mean, they're going to smash, comparatively, the previous record. 8 or 9% is a heck of a jump. And so to consider everything that's going on in Major League Baseball, do you feel as if the Houston Astros fit in with that trend, or do you think somehow they're getting it done differently on offense, CD?
I think, you know, when you look at the Astros and their natural progression, I feel like they still have the ability to hit the long ball, but not necessarily as reliant on it as they had been in the past. It's something you and I have talked about in the past whenever you look at what the Astros have done. 2015, during that postseason, that first postseason run, the first taste of it that this current iteration of the Astros had, let me just put it that way, they were absolutely reliant on the long ball, just hitting at will, and it wound up hurting them more often than not, because if you aren't hitting the long ball, you're not getting things done. I feel like, you know, we look at the Astros, the way they're set up now, they love to hit the long ball, but on a close second, they love to kind of hit for average. We're seeing a lot more consistent hitting all the way around 1 through 9. I think that's definitely a huge step in the right direction compared to what we saw with a lot of guys like Carter. He was definitely a big part of that. I feel like George Springer, he's still there as one of those guys that loves to just hit dingers. But you know what? Whenever you're a guy like that, you can hit him all you want, especially in the leadoff spot.
Got a few more moments live from the Tap Room River Ranch before we send you to the official first pitch of the second half of the Major League Baseball season. More on that here momentarily. But I'll finish up on the home run binge. 14 teams, Clint, are on track to beat their single-season home run records in 2019. Dude, there are only 30 teams in the league. Almost literally half of them are on track to smash their Tater records. One other thing I would share, and this gets away from the home run thing, but as we get you geared and thinking about Major League Baseball and heading closer toward the playoffs, right, in October, a lot of the usual suspects are leading the way in their divisions. I don't think there's going to be a lot of surprise that New York and Boston are the cream of the crop in the AL East, that Houston's leading the West. You look over the national side, yeah, right? The Dodgers, Cubbies, Brewers, you know, Philly, sort of Braves, Nats, all those guys we kind of expected. But the one unexpected leader in the clubhouse right now, the Minnesota Twins, and right now the Twinkies lead the AL Central at the All-Star break. Get this, for the first time since 2002. What in the name of Ron Gartenhire is going on right now in the land of 10,000 lakes? Not 1,000. They got a lot of those lakes out there. Right now they're playing some awfully good baseball as well. So Major League Baseball going to get off and running here momentarily. In about 5 minutes, we're going to send you to Arlington. Astro launch begins. Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, they just recharged their batteries. It'll be Houston at Texas, Stros at the Rangers, getting ready for a push toward the playoffs. Astros looking to hashtag take it back after last year falling a couple of steps shy of winning their second straight World Series. They lost last year in the ALCS. Of course, 2017 won it all. We'll see what the second half of this season has in store for A.J. Hinch and company. But your big news of the day for the Astros, Jake Marisnyk suspended for 2 games after his collision with former UL catcher Jonathan Lucroy. Now with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Marisnyk is appealing. That means he'll be available for tonight. And there's also, according to Chandler Roman of the Houston Chronicle, an undisclosed fine that's being levied against Marisnyk for that vicious collision and that play at the plate last Sunday. And so baseball coming our way, but frankly today, it's been almost all about the pigskin. Yeah, it's talking season, officially. Billy Napier, join us in the 4 o'clock hour, all in on year 2 of his tenure for the Ragin' Cajuns. In the 5 o'clock hour, high school football heavy. First, Shane Savoy, offensive coordinator for the St. Thomas More Cougars, and then Dennis Skanes, head coach at Cecilia High. And that really was a great chat, not just on what they're doing this year, not just on a new stadium that's coming to Cecilia and St. Martin Parish, but also his remembrance on a great man in that community and, frankly, throughout Louisiana, Coach James Wagon's back, Coach Wag, who passed earlier this week. And then earlier this hour, we had a scene setter from James Buehr's out at Cougar Stadium, home of the 2019 Quick Slant 7-on-7 tournament. If you missed any or all of those interviews, I encourage you to head to our website, 1037thegame.com, or our free 1037thegame mobile app. Just click or tap on demand. Take those interviews with you on the go. Listen in when you can. So I do want to thank all of our guests, our listeners, our callers, and the famous Clint D. My name is Ben Love, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. Stros at the Rangers. Coming at you next on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. We'll see you tomorrow, beginning at 4 from Rufino's on the River.